Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritcha. Narom Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatam Vyasam. Tato Jayam Virajat. Nasta Prayushu Badreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtuki. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, and we're beginning a new chapter. But the devotee said he wasn't informed that it's a new chapter. So we are reciting a shloka from text 19. No, we're reciting the text from 20, text number 20, which we recited yesterday. So, please repeat. Barhishi Tasmin Eva Vishnudatta Bhagavan. Barhishi Tasmin Eva Vishnudatta Bhagavan. Please chant. I'm sorry, you can't say. Getting the water. We were in Mayapur in 1976, and all the devotees wanted to chant enthusiastically, and the devotees were trying to stop them from, so Srila Prabhupada could speak, but Srila Prabhupada said, no, they should chant this shloka. So please, more devotees chant. Okay. There's much more. There's many more. Much more to this shloka. Yeah, it's prose. Any of the Matajis would like to chant? We can barely hear you. I think you chanted it, though. There's a little noise. Okay. So, again, we're beginning a new chapter. This is chapter 4, entitled The Characteristics of Rishabhdev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this chapter, Rishabhdev, the son of Maharaj Nabi, begot 100 sons. And during the reign of those sons, the world was very happy in all respects. When Rishabhdev appeared as the son of Maharaj Nabi, he was appreciated by the people as the most exalted and beautiful personality of that age. His poise, influence, strength, enthusiasm, bodily luster, and other transcendental qualities were beyond compare. The word Rishabha refers to the best or the supreme. Due to the super excellent attributes of the son of Maharaj Nabi, the king named his son Rishabha or the best. His influence was incomparable. Although there was a scarcity of rain, Rishabhdev did not care for Indra, the king of heaven, who is in charge of supplying rain. Through his own potency, Rishabhdev sumptuously covered Ajanabha with ample rain. Upon receiving Rishabhdev, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as his son, King Nabi began to raise him very carefully. After that, he entrusted the ruling power to him and, retiring from family life, lived at Bhadrik Ashram, completely engaged in the worship of Vasudev, the Supreme Lord. To follow social customs, Lord Rishabhdev, for a while, became a student in the Gurukul. And after returning, he followed the orders of his guru and accepted a wife named Jayanti, who had been given to him by the king of heaven, Indra. He begot 100 sons in the womb of Jayanti. Of these 100 sons, the eldest was known as Bharat. Since the reign of Maharaj Bharat, this planet has been called Bharatavarsh. Rishabhdev's other sons were headed by Kushavarta, Ilavarta, Brahmavarta, Malaya, Ketu, Bhadrasen, Indrasprik, Vidarbha, and Kikat. There were also other sons named Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayan, Avirhotra, Drumil, Chamas, and Karan Bhajan. Instead of ruling the kingdom, these 9 became mendicant preachers of Krishna consciousness, following the religious precepts of the Bhagavatam. Their characteristics and activities are described in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam during the talks between Vasudev and Narad at Kurukshetra. To teach the general populace, King Rishabhdev performed many sacrifices and taught his sons how to rule the citizens. So that was Srila Prabhupada's introduction to this chapter, so we'll read the first text. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Probably can't repeat it, it's prose, but we can do the word for word. So please repeat. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Ataha. Thus, after the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared, Tam, him, Upacha, from the beginning of his appearance, Eva, even, Abhivyayamana, directly manifested, Bhagavat Lakshanam, possessing the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Samya, equal to everyone. Upashama, completely peaceful. In control of the senses and mind. Vairagya, renunciation. Aishvarya, opulences. Maha, Vibhutibhi, with great attributes. Anudinam, day after day. Edamana, increasing. Anubhavam, his power. Prakritaya, the ministers. Praja, the citizens. Brahmana. The learned scholars in full knowledge of Brahman. Devata. The demigods. Cha. And. Avanitala. The surface of the globe. Samavanaya. To rule. Atitaram. Greatly. Jagridu. Desired. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, as soon as the Lord was born as the son of Maharaj Nabi, He manifested symptoms of the Supreme Lord, such as the marks on the bottom of His feet, the flag, thunderbolt, etc. This son was equal to everyone and very peaceful. He could control his senses and his mind, and possessing all opulence, he did not hanker for material enjoyment. Endowed with all these attributes, the son of Maharaj Nabi became more powerful day after day. Due to this, the citizens, learned brahmanas, demigods, and ministers wanted Rishabhdev to be appointed ruler of this earth. Please repeat. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, as soon as the Lord was born, as the son of Maharaj Nabi, He manifested symptoms of the Supreme Lord, such as marks on the bottom of His feet, the flag, thunderbolt, etc. This son was equal to everyone and very peaceful. He could control his senses and mind, and possessing all opulence, he did not hanker for material enjoyment. Endowed with all these attributes, the son of Maharaj Nabi became more powerful day after day. Due to this, the citizens, learned brahmanas, demigods, and ministers wanted Rishabhdev to be appointed ruler of the earth. Purport. In these days of cheap incarnations, it is very interesting to note the bodily symptoms found in an incarnation. From the very beginning of his birth, it was observed that Rishabhdev's feet were marked with the transcendental signs of flag, thunderbolt, lotus flower, etc. In addition to this, as the Lord began to grow, He became very prominent. He was equal to everyone. He did not favor one person and neglect another. An incarnation of God must have the six opulences: wealth, strength, knowledge, beauty, fame, and renunciation. It is said that although Rishabhdev was endowed with all opulences and therefore liked by everyone, It is said that although Rishabhdev was endowed with all opulences, he was not at all attached to material enjoyment. He was self-controlled and therefore liked by everyone. Due to his super excellent qualities, everyone wanted him to rule the earth. An incarnation of God has to be accepted by experienced people and by the symptoms described in the Shastras. An incarnation is not accepted simply by the adulation of foolish people. Thus in Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ome gena tamarandasya, gananjana shalakaya, chakshul unmiritam jena, tasmai shri gurave namaha, shri chaitanya manobistam, stapitam jena bhutale, swayam rupa kadamayam, dadati swapadantikam, vandeham shri guru, shri uta parakamalam, shri gurum vaishnavam shcha, Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hare Priye. Vanchakapa Tribhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this class is already a success. We chanted Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada gave us the formula for class. He said that we should preach in such a way that we understand we're not this body. He gave this formula because many devotees say, I don't know what to say. And it's like that, practically speaking, I think, every time someone gives class. Well, what will I say on this verse? But anyway, in general, we instruct that we're not this body. We're spirit soul. And our constitutional position is to serve Krishna. And this material world is not our home. This is a general formula Srila Prabhupada gave for giving the discourse. And we see that Maharaj Rishabhdev, he manifested these symptoms. So first of all, it explains here that he had all the markings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not by whim that someone declares themselves to be God. It's very popular these days in the West to think that one can concoct their spiritual idea. I believe spirituality is this, I believe spirituality is that. And therefore, especially in California and Los Angeles, Buddhism is very, very popular. Because Srila Prabhupada explained that Buddhism is covered atheism. Of course, the Buddhists don't believe in God, they don't believe in the soul. But Buddha came to teach good works, so people think they're being good in different ways. They think if they give a little charity, of course that charity may be, they may be feeding the poor, they may be feeding meat to the poor. So what is the use of this kind of charity? My son, for a few years, we sent him to a Seventh-day Adventist school because they're quasi-vegetarian, so they asked us for a donation to help feed the poor. So we asked them, will you feed the poor meat? They said, of course. Of course we'll feed them meat, they're hungry. So we told them, oh no, I'm sorry, we can't donate for that. There's no need to feed the poor meat, that they can be vegetarian. And when I tell people in the West that I've been vegetarian for 41 years or 42 years or something, somewhere around that time, they're like in shock. Like, wow, that's amazing. You've been there. No, I say it's not amazing, it's normal. I said, what's amazing is that people eat slaughtered animals, slaughtered carcasses. This is beyond amazement. It's beyond craziness. They did a study at UCLA. How many gallons of water it takes to get a pound of meat? Because you have to water the crops, you have to feed the animals. So it's over 5,000 gallons of water for 1 pound of meat. And there's such a shortage of water, especially in California. There's been a drought for 14 years. Just recently, there have been some rains. Otherwise, they were ready to declare a state of emergency, which means that the last time they declared a state of emergency was in 1990. People could not flush their toilet. There was such a shortage of water. Of course, they couldn't water the lawns, they couldn't wash their cars. But they don't understand that by performance of yajna, these things are automatically supplied. Saha yajna prajashisha purovacha prajapati anena prasavishadam eshavos dukamadu. Krishna explains that in the beginning of creation, he sent forth generations of men and demigods and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by the performance of yajna, because by this performance it will bestow upon you all desirable things. All desirable things. Srila Prabhupada made a promise to us that if we preached on behalf of Krishna, this is how he explained it. If we preached on behalf of Krishna, we would never know any shortage in our life. I'm not sure about all the devotees here, but it seems as though everyone looks pretty well fed, well clothed. I know my personal experience is that Krishna has supplied me so much. Recently, I used to do a little bit of outside work, so I quit that because Krishna was sending me so much Lakshmi, and I was thinking, well, I'm going to use it for preaching, which I plan on doing as soon as I return to the West. I came to Holy Dham to try to get the blessings of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas have been so kind to me here. I want to thank everyone very, very much from the bottom of my heart. I'm leaving this morning, this Holy Dham. I'm going to Mayapur, but the point is that Srila Prabhupada promised us that we would never know any shortage. On Radha Damodar Party, we were very attached to the idea of helping Srila Prabhupada. Now, what motivated us to dedicate our life in this way? Somehow, Srila Prabhupada extracted our intense love for us. It was only out of intense love that we wanted to do this for Srila Prabhupada. There was no other reason. If we read the writings of the devotees who had his personal association, I was rank and file. I was like the devotees here, 1976. I was sitting in the audience. Srila Prabhupada gave so many ecstatic talks when I was here in Vrindavan. But anyway, the point was, I was rank and file. I never really had personal association with Srila Prabhupada other than being in the class. And sometimes I was on the Radha Damodar Party, so he called the Radha Damodar Party up to encourage us to stay brahmachari, to encourage us to keep preaching, especially in the West. And, of course, practicing all the other principles of Krishna consciousness. So, if we read the writings of the devotees who had the personal association of Srila Prabhupada, one thing is very, very obvious to me is how much they loved Srila Prabhupada and how much he loved them. Srila Prabhupada loved his disciples so much he always considered himself the servant of his disciples. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundara Ki Jai. So Srila Prabhupada knew that art of how to bring that atmosphere of love into Krishna consciousness. Because after all, we're practicing bhakti yoga. We're practicing bhakti yoga, which is the yoga of love of Krishna. So how do we come to that platform? Of course, hearing and chanting is watering the seed of devotional service. But also we have to engage in intense devotional service. Just like we're hearing about Maharaj Nabi, he had a desire. He had a desire to have a son. So, akama sarvakamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena. Very intense devotional service. Very intense devotional service. Yajeta purusham param. If we want to whatever desires that we have in life. Ultimately, hopefully, everyone that's sitting here, we all have the desire to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the ultimate goal. That is our ultimate desire. We want to go back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada gave that formula. And if we want to be successful in that execution, we must engage in this intense devotional service. Tiv Raina Bhakti Yogena. Sometimes devotees feel like, well, the authorities are very greedy. But in reality, the fact is that the material world is very greedy. It is very contaminating, this material world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta used to explain, it is no fit place for a gentleman. This material world is a very dirty place. So if we want to remain unaffected, just like Maharaj Rishabhdev, it's explained that he had full opulence, but he was not bewildered by that opulence. So if we also want to remain unaffected by whatever so-called opulence, Srila Prabhupada would call the opulence in this material world phantasmagoria. He was very fond of using this word phantasmagoria. Because what is the opulence of this material world? Just like if someone were to walk up to you and say, I'm a very generous person. I'm going to give you $1 million. But I'm going to take it away in 1 minute. I'm going to take it back in just 1 minute. He would say, what's the use of that? What's the benefit? What's the benefit? So in the same way, whatever we get within this material world, how long can we hold on to it? How long can we keep it? One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, why are there so many young people in your society? So Prabhupada's reply was, why are there so many young people in the schools? Well, so the reporter said, well, that's the age of learning. So Prabhupada said, yes. Same thing. Komara acharat pragyo. We must begin this process from very early in life. Very early in life. So, in that way, I was trying to make a point about renunciation. What do we have? How temporal. Okay, so young people go to school. That was the point. And similarly, young people were joining Krishna consciousness. So then the reporter said to Srila Prabhupada, but isn't this type of life meant for when you get older? Prabhupada immediately challenged, what do you mean by old age? So the reporter says, well, you know, older, you're getting ready to die. Prabhupada said, who's not near death? We don't know when we can leave our body. It could be any time. Could be any time. There's no notice given for the time of death. Just within the last week or 10 days, we had two members of our Los Angeles community leave their bodies. One person was totally fine just 2 months ago. He had a pain in his side. He went to the hospital. They told him it was gas. So then they sent him home. The pain kept going on for another day, another 2 days, whatever. He couldn't sleep. He went back to the hospital. Pancreatic cancer. You will leave your body within 6 months. He didn't even last 2 months. So he was in perfect. He went from perfect health to finish. So similarly, all of us, death will not give us any notice. Not give us any notice. It could be at any time. Prabhupada explained to us, we're all flying our own airplane. When we're in the high in the sky, and if the airplane's having some problem, there's no one that can help us. So at the time of death, of course the devotees will chant and try to help us remember Krishna. But we have to develop this Krishna consciousness now. Srila Prabhupada very much encourages us that don't take advantage. Don't take advantage that, well, we've chanted Hare Krishna and therefore there's so much benefit and I can be now lackadaisical in my Krishna consciousness. No, we have to engage in intense devotional service. And the temple president is now smiling, yes. I like that. I mean, you know, we're encouraging intense devotional service, but that's the matter of the fact. It is not that the temple managers are greedy, but the fact is that, just like Prabhupada said, our hearts are like coal. They're like coal. If anyone has the experience of trying to wash coal, practically almost an impossible task to wash coal. How can you wash coal? So our hearts are just like that. Our hearts are very, very, very dirty. So in order to cleanse the heart, we have to keep pouring in the nectar of Krishna consciousness, pouring in the milk to wash out the black ink that's within our hearts. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samiti chaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So practically speaking, we should try never to fall down in this Krishna consciousness. So anyway, in this way, Srila Prabhupada encouraged us. Now, the most intense devotional service is preaching. And as we know, this is Srila Prabhupada's heart and soul. Somehow, Srila Prabhupada was very comfortable here in the Holy Dham. Practically speaking, he had every reason to stay here. He had no reason to leave. But he had the order of his spiritual master, and that was burning within his heart. That was burning within his heart to go and preach this message of Krishna consciousness. So similarly, we have to take up the same mood of wanting to preach Krishna consciousness, whether it's here in the Holy Dham, whether it's right here within the temple, or if it's Nam Hatta programs, or many of you are going back to your countries after this festival. So whatever the case may be, somehow or other we have to have this mood of preaching Krishna consciousness. Everyone, as we said in the beginning of the class, everyone's identity is the spirit soul. And unless someone is wearing tilak, unless someone is chanting japa mala, you need to preach to them. We shouldn't think, well, this person looks like he won't be interested. We shouldn't. When Lord Chaitanya distributed the fruits of love of Godhead, he did not consider who was a fit candidate, nor who was not, or who was in need or who was not. Prabhupada was once asked about helping the poor people. You know, what is ISKCON doing? Are we planning to open up hospitals? Are we planning to open up schools? Prabhupada said, poor people? Everyone in this material world, everyone is poor people. Everyone. We should know, regardless of what they may have. And if they have more opulence, as being explained in this text, we should consider that it's going to be, it's in one sense, it's their bad karma. Because they become so bewildered. Bogais svarya prasaktanam. Tayaprahita chetasam vyavasi atmika buddhir samado na vidyate. That for one who is attached to material opulence or this material sense gratification, they're bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service cannot take place. So we have to be very, very careful within our devotional service. And things in the material world are progressing at such a rapid pace. I can remember when I was here in 1976, I believe there were no cell phones. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? There were no cell phones. Nowadays, everyone, I've seen very few devotees without a cell. Who here does not have a cell phone? There are still a few devotees. Hare Krishna. Because at least I know if my cell phone breaks, well, before, now I've quit all of my outside, but before that, if my cell phone broke, I had to stop whatever it was that I was doing and rush to the cell phone shop to get it repaired. My day was stopped. It was bad enough that right before my trip here to the Holy Dham that my computer broke, which has all of Srila Prabhupada's books on it, but so I wanted to bring it. But we become so dependent, practically speaking, just across the street to go to the store, we have to take the car. We can no longer even walk, you know, a short distance. We have to take a car. So even within devotional service, we become affected by these things. So we have to be very, very careful to make sure that we always utilize these facilities for Krishna service. Prabhupada said, if we even use one farthing, Prabhupada used the word farthing for sense gratification. Prabhupada said, we will go to hell. Prabhupada warned us like that. We should not use one farthing. So we have to constantly pray and meditate how we can utilize this for Krishna's service. And then it gives real value. Prabhupada said zero has no value. So the material world is only many zeros. If you see someone with a big fancy car, you should understand it may be his big fancy coffin. My father passed away a few years ago. So when he passed away, we had to pick out his coffin. He didn't do these things. So the family members were saying, you know, should we get him a very nice coffin or should we just get him a simple coffin? So the family members decided in between. Let's go in between. But he had no care for it. He had no care. Just like Prabhupada said, we may be some big, powerful personality. But when the life force leaves the body, what happens? That big personality, finished. Now he's subjected to all of that karma. Probably mostly bad karma. So who knows what he's going to be in his next life? Who can guarantee in the material world what they're going to be in their next life? Prabhupada drove home that point many times. How can you guarantee what you're going, these people, what are they going to be in their next life? They're eating meat. Their lives are dedicated to illicit sex. They're taking all kinds of intoxication and they're gambling. If not, at least they're gambling their life away. They're gambling their life away. But practically speaking, gambling is so rampant in the West. Everywhere, even in churches, they play bingo and they have this, it's called the state lottery, and they do it in the name of education. All the millions and millions of dollars that are going, and people spend so much. I'm not sure exactly how often they pick a winner, but it's like every week, I believe, or anyway, it's every so often. And immediately the balance goes to many millions of dollars again, which that money comes from the people buying the tickets to win. So they're gambling in so many, ultimately they're gambling their life away. So how much bad karma do they have? Prabhupada said it's practically unimaginable. When they will again see the human form of life, it's practically speaking, it's going to be a very, very long time. Who knows how many millions of births it's going to be before they get to human life form. So we have to somehow or other, the devotees here, the devotees, and there's so few devotees compared to how many people there are on this planet. So somehow or other, we have to take the initiative. We have to take the initiative. And it's not that the materialists are going to walk up to us, oh, hi there, you look like a devotee. Can you please tell me about Krishna consciousness? I mean, that would be a dream come true, but that mostly that doesn't happen. Only a few rare, maybe if I'm sitting at the airport waiting for a flight and there's a few pious devotees from India, they'll come up and want to speak to me about Krishna consciousness. But mostly people are going to tell you, what did they tell Srila Prabhupada? You're crazy. Prabhupada wrote an article, who's crazy, right? Because the materialists look at us, wow, what are you people doing? We're out on Harinam. We're chanting Hare Krishna. And especially, anyway, everyone. And also, I was going to say, especially the Christians. Like, you people are crazy. So I tell them, well, we're singing the names of God. This is what you're supposed to be doing. But they look at us. Some people look at us like, wow, what is this? What's going on? Well, we're singing the names of God. You know, wow. I never heard of that before. But it's in their writings. It's in their writings. Actually, I tell them, well, in Psalms it says, you should glorify God's name from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same with cymbals and drums and bugles, trumpets. It says this right in their scriptures. So it shouldn't be a foreign thing to them, but somehow or other they're seeing it as like, you people are crazy. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada wrote that article, Who's Crazy? And so many other excuses they give. Another excuse, I have no time. I have no time. Just like we see in the West, long traffic jams. Somehow or other, here there's traffic jams, but they move. But in the West, you could be sitting for hours. It could be even more. You could be sitting in one place for hours. But if someone cuts them off, they become so angry because they think they're in such a hurry, but they want to stop and fight. And they'll put each other in the hospital for who knows how long, maybe a month. So they're in such a hurry. They're in such a, you know, rush. But they'll stop and fight. They have no time. Srila Prabhupada wanted to, he would tell them, show them the Krishna Conscious pamphlet that he would write. They would tell Srila Prabhupada, oh, we have no time. We have no time. They think they have no time, but they could drop dead in just a few minutes. When I first was becoming introduced to Krishna Consciousness, the devotees, one of the things that very impressed me very much, the devotees told me, if you died today, do you think this world would stop? Because I told them, I have so many important things to do. I have a college scholarship. I have this and that, a car, a job. They said, well, if you died, would things stop? Things would continue, and things are going to continue, unfortunately. Unfortunately, in a very bad karma way, things are going to continue. So if there's any chance, just like one devotee was sitting with me, we were thinking, gosh, when we were young, there were no vegetarian, at least in the West, there were no vegetarian restaurants. When I first became vegetarian, people thought I would be dead by now. They used to try to sneak meat into my food. You gotta eat some meat, you're gonna die. So now there's so many vegetarian restaurants. We should give credit to the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Similarly, the words karma, the word guru, the word avatar, there's so many mantra, the word mantra. Of course, they use them in a materialistic way. But at least there's some introduction. There's some introduction of Krishna Consciousness. They're encouraging more to be... Of course, Prabhupada introduced the word Krishnatarian. We're not just vegetarian, we're Krishnatarian. So in this way, there actually is advancement in Krishna Consciousness. And another proof is that everyone sitting here now, there's only a few faces that were here, everyone else is new. So somehow or other, there are souls that are just waiting to hear this Krishna Consciousness. Just like if you have a dry sponge and you get it near water, it just soaks up the water. So in the same way, there are souls that are just waiting to hear this Krishna Consciousness movement. And you can take the credit. We can take the credit. Because this is what Krishna wants, this is what Lord Chaitanya wants, this is what Srila Prabhupada wants. That we go out and present this Krishna Consciousness, and we don't know what will be the result. When Srila Prabhupada first went to the West, if you read his biography, so he was so penniless at the age of 70. I know that whenever I travel, I have to make sure, oh, I've got my credit cards, I've got sufficient Lakshmi, I've got this, I've got that. Prabhupada came to the West penniless, didn't know anyone, came in the winter. If we think this is cold, the winters in New York are below zero. He spent his first winter. He'd never seen snow before. He's 70 years old. I already, one day, parikram, fasting, on Govardhan, I already, you know, caught a cold and this and that. But Prabhupada came at the age of 70. So most people at the age of 70, they're just thinking, I've got this much bank balance, I've got my nice home, I've got my, you know, my family, I've got so many wonderful things now to spend my last... They're thinking like this in terms of their materialistic situation. So Srila Prabhupada, he left all that behind. And it wasn't a simple task for him. Don't think it was a simple task.